Hello, and this is Pondering Through Time with Ajushi Otaro and Hajime Tsuboi. I'm Connor, and I'm here with my co-host, Neve.
Hi, I'm Neve.
And this is a lighthearted and uproarious comedy podcast that's dedicated to Eiji Nonaka's manga series, Cromartie High School. And today we are continuing our read-through of Volume 5 with Chapter 98, The Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
Are you a big U2 fan?
Not like intensely, I guess. I had like a phase where I listened to some U2, but yeah, and it was never like this is like, you know, my favorite band or something. It was just like one of the bands that I was listening to, you know. And now I just like never listen to U2.
Yeah,
it's been ages since I've listened.
Yeah, I think that's kind of my exact position as well. There was a period of time where I listened to The Joshua Tree in like high school and got pretty familiar with it. And then yeah. I just never like got into any of their other stuff. I think it was almost... The Joshua Tree is like, there's like a U2 sound and vibe.
Yeah.
That like, it's always there, but the Joshua Tree is like a little bit not quite as like heavy on that.
Yeah.
It just is more like, oh yeah, this is just like, this could be another band's music kind of.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just so, like, U2, it's, like, hitting you in the face. But then everything else is just, like, it's hard to... Maybe some other time I'll try to get back into him.
Yeah.
And listen to, like, the other stuff. I know the early stuff is, like, supposed to be... Well, there's people who like everything they do.
Yeah.
They have, like, acclaimed albums around...
I feel like when I was listening to them was around the time of All That You Can't Leave Behind came out. But I remember I was mostly listening to like Boy, October, like especially some of the like earlier stuff that was just like it felt like extra steeped in like Irish politics too, you know, which mm-hmm. is just a thing that like I was responding to as a, you know, a child slash teen. So.
Right. I had in high school, one of my English teachers was this guy named Mr. Blackwell. And he was like this super conservative Catholic guy who was just like, you know, obsessed with Dante, like taught Dante in like junior year, or like reading the whole Divine Comedy.
Yeah.
And then I later found out that he actually, like, I guess when he started working at the school, one of the other teachers told me that when he started working at the school, he was actually, like, this very, like, Fabian socialist atheist guy. And just, like, completely flipped in what has to be a really interesting story. But he also had, like, he had some incendiary political opinions that he, like, really... he got away with articulating.
Yeah.
And so like all kinds of stuff with that. And he was really into like Ayn Rand. It was that kind of thing.
what a shift.
I know. Yeah, I was told that it had something to do with him getting married. but still, like, I want to know that full story.
Yeah.
So anyway, I actually like this guy. Like, I thought he was a pretty good teacher and like got me interested in the material and like continuing, you know, my education in literature. But one of the random things that he, so he has these like incendiary political opinions. Okay. Got it. But then like at one point somehow U2 came up. And he just goes on the most, like, just brutal you two hating rant that I've ever heard from anyone. He's just like, oh yeah, you two, like, if you could make the concept of mediocrity into a band, it would be you two. Like, I've never heard any, like, any other band that is so entirely, completely, just, like, definitive of mediocrity other than you two. And just, this is, like, a 15-minute rant.
Yeah.
On this theme. So, it was really funny. But I always remember that whenever I, like, because there's a way that's kind of true. Like, I think U2 is a good band by, like, most measures people would deploy.
Yeah.
Like, better than mediocre, but also, like, there's some sort of higher level where that feels true.
That... Yeah. It's like, in the grand scheme of bands, they're, like, pretty good, right? But, like, when you just think about, like, music that I would want to listen to, it just feels mid. Right.
Yes.
And like Sting.
Yes.
Like Sting has like a certain air of celebrity, but is kind of just a mediocre celebrity. Right. Like,
yeah. Sting is the same way for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not like an excitement to like Sting, you know, but he's still a celebrity.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
It's not like some bands where like the band members are like hardly known quantities, you know? They like don't feel like celebrities at all. Even if the band is big. I feel like there's some bands where it's just like, oh yeah, like most of the people in this band, nobody like actually fucking knows who the fuck they are.
Unless yeah, we don't you know, like really who the care guitarist about. Is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, U2 is like, okay, you know, like this, they're like very technically skilled. That's well produced. Like it's, you know, it's thoroughly composed.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they're like good, like well-written songs. But it's just like, it's so mid. I just feel like everything the music carries is like mid, even as like the thing they're trying so hard to not be mid.
Yeah.
Like Bono really wants to be, Bono really wants to be edgy.
And
Edge really wants to be edgy. Obviously, it's like a band that's like trying to be edgy, but they just can't do it for some reason. It's weird. I also think the Edge is just really funny.
Yeah.
Because it not like a couple weeks ago, again, randomly, like somehow U2 came up when I was hanging out with Sarah and I was like, hey Sarah, what do you think the name of the, of the U2 guitarist is? She's like, I don't fucking know. It's like, yeah, he's the Edge. She was like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah. No one knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was looking this up earlier because I was just laughing about this before we even started. And I found out his brother's name is Dick.
Yeah, Dick Evans. I'm looking at a list.
No, Dick Edge.
Dick Edge. Edging Dick. It's just funny, like, I'm looking at the list of members listed on Wikipedia for U2, and it's just funny seeing Bono, just, you know, mononym Bono, Adam Clayton, The Edge, Larry Mullen Jr., past members, Dick Evans, Ivan McCormick.
Yeah.
It's just like two of these guys are trying too hard.
Yeah. I mean, they are carrying it.
Yeah.
Right. But like, they're also really trying hard.
They're trying so hard to carry it.
Yeah.
And it adds to the midness of U2 is that like half of them are Bono and The Edge. And then the other half are just normal guys. You don't have weird fucking names.
It's also just like the way the sound, like the way their characteristic sounds mix just becomes mid. Like if you put The Edge in like Cocteau Twins, that would be fucking cool. You know?
Yeah.
Like that would probably be like a lot, like would really work and be like fun. But then there's like, and then Bono, I mean, I don't know where I'd put Bono, but like somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that would probably be fine. Like, he could be in another band and it would be better. But then it's, like, just the way those two shape each other's sound is, like, it becomes really, like, bland, I feel like.
Yeah.
There are people out there who are super...
This band's not big enough for two weird mononym guys.
No, definitely not. Yeah, we could... Let's swap Bono and Gackt.
Mm.
See what happens. So you still got your two mononyms.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy, but we're going in a much weirder direction. Yeah. So the other thing about you two, I don't know if I can find this article anymore, but I had a friend in high school where we used to talk about music a lot, and we used to laugh about, there was some article he found where it was like someone who is a super big U2 fan.
Yeah.
And was doing like a musicological analysis of the Edge's guitar playing. But the argument was like that the Edge's guitar playing has something to do with Fibonacci sequences.
Yeah.
So I'll have to look this up after.
Yeah, I think
it's probably just like, hold on.
It's like
the Edge Fibonacci.
It's like a different guy, but like the mediocrity or like the midness of U2, it's like in a similar space. It's not fully identical, but to like the Grateful Dead or the Fish, where like there's like a type of fan that's like really into it, and that like type of fan is like convincing you even more of the mediocrity, right? The person that's like, this is the greatest yeah. band ever, and you're like, somehow this argument is making me think that they're more mediocre than just listening to the band and being like, oh, this is all right.
Yeah, the arguer and the content of the argument.
Yeah.
I mean, this is another, like, this is an extension of Edge's try-hardness.
Yeah.
Like, the fan's try-hardness in this article reflects the Edge perfectly, and therefore, like, even as they're, like, trying even harder to make this a thing.
Yeah.
Just, like, confirms the original problem.
U2's natural logarithm, exponential decay and delay of the Edge's guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure this is all accurate, actually. But someone who knows musicology should read this and tell us.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, that's you too. So, chapter 98, the Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
I have to say a superior adaptation of the cover is better than the original here.
Yeah.
I especially like the part where I like the like arrangement of the panels.
Yeah.
It just has a certain like sequencing to it.
Yeah.
That feels like there's a deeper logic happening.
Yeah. And there's this like interesting delay that's occurring when you like flip the page. So there's like the deciding that they're gonna play baseball and being like, yeah, let's do it. And you get Kamiyama throwing the baseball. And normally you'd like expect to get like the baseball hit, right? And you
immediately.
And it's not until you turn the page that you see Freddy cracking that ball out of the park.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a distortion of time that's happening.
Yeah.
With the delay. Like it's elongating the it's like elongating time, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very atmospheric. So yeah, I mean, yeah. I think
the use of the gray tones in this also, is really good too.
Yeah, I think that's the Brian Eno. I was just I feel like Brian Eno is involved. You can see his influence.
Yeah,
definitely. The bird panel, that feels like you know, all the way.
Yeah.
Just like contemplating this solitary bird flying.
This panel was actually just written by Brian Eno. That bird is flying free and high. Thank you for joining us today. Next time we are reading chapters 99 and 100 from volume 5. You can get the full schedule at exportod.io/bootonschedule. If you have questions for us, send them to ghostdiverspod@gmail.com. You can get early access to episodes of this podcast and many others by becoming a $1 patron of the network at exportod.io. And listen a week before the public feeds, or $5 you get exclusive bonus episodes of a variety of podcasts on the network, but especially Coffee and Comic Books, a podcast where they actually talk about the comics most of the time. If you like this podcast, please tell a friend. Then you can find the free feed at exportod.io/bootdon, or by searching Pondering Bootdon on their podcast of choice. If you like listening to us talk, we do a lot more of that over at Ghost Divers. You can find exportod.io/ghostdivers, or search Ghost Divers in your podcast of choice. You can find the show at Ponder Bootdon on Twitter, or just at Bootdon at Ghost. You can find me at Fox Omni on Twitter, Ghost, and Blue Sky. You can check my pinned Twitter, pinned just, but still not my pinned Skeet, because it still doesn't exist yet. To find links to all my podcasts, where can people find you, Connor?
Y'all can find me at Rebelay, RBPLEAIS.
And opening theme is Ninga Nante by Yoshio Takaro, and taking a set today is I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For by U2. Class dismissed.
Class dismissed. Hello, and this is Pondering Putan with Ajushi Otaro and Hajime Tsugoi. I'm Connor, and I'm here with my co-host, Neve.
Hi, I'm Neve.
And this is a lighthearted and uproarious comedy podcast that's dedicated to Eiji Nonaka's manga series, Cromartie High School. And today, we are continuing our read-through of Volume 5 with Chapter 99, Beat It, and Chapter 100, A Brand New Gorilla. Are you like a pretty big Michael Jackson fan?
Yeah. Like, this is one because like I know a lot of people who like can't listen to Michael Jackson anymore because of everything. Right. And I totally understand that. But like Michael Jackson, like I grew up with like a certain amount of Michael Jackson to an extent to which like that's just the king of pop to me, right? I think also like the fact that there's like we have like the music going back to like child Michael Jackson. I feel like I have like a deep awareness of like the way that like the industry fucked Michael Jackson up as well. That I don't know if it like for me like you know makes everything okay, but like. I guess yeah, I have more like compassion, right? Yeah. I have like more
definitely
compassion
doesn't make
for,
everything okay.
Yeah. Well, like it doesn't like excuse. It doesn't excuse.
It doesn't allow him to dodge the everything.
But
else.
Like it also instills in me this like level of compassion of like wow, this whole industry just fucked you up, right? It is a thing where like sometimes I don't think about it and then I'll suddenly think about it while I'm like listening to, you know, like I still think Thriller is one of the greatest pop albums ever made. It's just fantastic.
Sure. I kind of put you on the spot there without intending to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's one of those where it's just like, well, I don't know if I have anything to add.
Yeah.
There's a weird like, stratum that like it's just once something is like known for so long and it's just like not you really can't it's not resolvable and well I guess it is because you can just say well you know like what he did is horrible but also like we understand the reasons for it but it's you know and that's it but then where does that leave you as far as like your relationship to the music
right? It's one of those things that's, and I'm sure is like easily resolvable for some people. Right. And some of it kind of just depends on like I will find myself listening to Michael Jackson movie, like music, more than, like Roman Polanski movies. Cause I think there's also just like a higher barrier to like go watch a movie. Also like there's a lot of Roman Polanski movies that I really enjoyed. And I like when I was in undergrad, took a bunch of courses with a professor whose specialty was like Polish national cinema. And so like to some degree, we like even just had to talk about Polanski because he's just a big figure in there. And so there's this way in which there's like there are still some Polanski movies that I think of as like those are some of the greats of cinema. And also, I don't know if I'll ever rewatch them. Like Rosemary's Baby is incredible.
Yeah. Chinatown.
Yeah. Chinatown I'm a little bit more mid on, but Knife in the Water is like his first one, and it's like it's one of those where like normally I'd be like everybody needs to watch this because like, you know, it's his first feature. Like most people aren't seeing it and it's really good. But like no, if you haven't watched a Roman Polanski movie, don't. Right?
Like Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we should talk about maybe we shouldn't. I was a big fan of Chinatown for like for quite some time. And also Rosemary's Baby obviously is a classic. And then
The Tenant even without is really good too.
But even without me consciously thinking about it, I just haven't gone back.
Yeah.
And I think it's weird how like these are kind of decisions or calculations that you think you would be making really consciously and you are, but then it's just like the actual like volitional part of like doing it or not a lot of the time seems to happen at like some kind of a subconscious level.
Yeah.
Cause like with Polanski, it's just like, okay, you know, I went from really liking this movie and then like becoming more aware of everything, his like crimes.
Yeah.
And then like, I haven't had the thought process of like, well, I'm not watching Roman Polanski anymore. Even though I kind of feel that way, I haven't like decided that.
Yeah.
But on a subconscious, I just haven't done it. I just haven't gone back because there's some calculations like happening underneath my, you know, the conscious level that's doing that.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I feel like that's happening in all of these cases or a lot of them.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, successfully, at least I have successfully added nothing to that ongoing cultural problem.
Yeah.
the philosophical issue. So yeah, with that, yeah. Well, maybe we can get to a completely unproblematic. Well, you want to keep going?
Oh, I was just going to like add in the additional part too of like, cause I think about, I forget what country singer this came up with where like, you read about his life and he was like an, absolute horrible man who like abused his wife and kids. He's also dead now and the people who get the royalties are his kids. And so there's also this weird thing at a certain point in which like when you're
material,
like the material thing of ingrating of like engaging with it, like there's just this whole other component, right? It's just like another component, but anyway, I was gonna say,
well,
unless you want to continue with this. Something. Yeah, you have something to add.
I think we're just getting to a point now where we have so much information about celebrities, past and current, and like biographical information, and we also have a generally like more critical, there's more desire to get that information and like have a critical stance towards it.
Yeah.
So now it's just kind of like, you know, of course I'm not going to diminish or trivialize the general crimes of celebrities that we could all name.
Yeah.
But there is a point where it just kind of becomes like, there may be a point of convergence where it's like, okay, yeah, like you have people with point of convergence with the general human population.
Yeah.
Where you're like, okay, now we know everything about this person's life. Like now we know they weren't such a good person and they did like a bunch of fucked up shit. But then when like so many celebrities have that, there's definitely a process of selection that's happening where like people are, you know, people are aware of John Lennon being bad and we'll like talk about that, but that's not the first thing. You know, and it does correlate to like how bad what they did was. It's like Jimmy Savile. The first thing you say is like, yeah, fucking, you know, monster. So it has some correlation to that, but I feel like there's a lot else that's coming in. And then the positions are just becoming calcified. Like the information becomes known, it's processed. And then to a large degree, unless there's a major like shift or revision, it's just like the gestalt of that like celebrity profile finds a place that's like calcified and then people just, you know, follow from that.
Yeah.
It's very strange actually. The more you think about it, like just how the process of how it happens, I guess.
Yeah.
And like how the content, correlates to like the result. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good enough.
This episode feels like it's exactly the same as last episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Explain, because I don't think I'm following you.
I don't know. I feel like do we like really need both of these episodes? The old episode was good. Why don't we just stick with the old episode? Why do we have to do this new episode?
You know, that's a good question. I guess we really did cover a lot of the same ground.
Yeah.
I guess my first answer to that would be that there's chapters. You know, the chapters are here. So then we need to have... You have to respond to it somehow. That's our, like...
It's like...
We're the audience. We're the audience.
It's like the chapter is, like, telling us something about its personality, at least. Even if, like, the episode sort of feels the same otherwise. There's, like, a different personality to it. Is that what you're saying? Even though, like, functionally we're kind of doing the same thing every time.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, like, the specific references and the matter at hand appears to be different. But underneath, in fact, it may be a similar function. Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Like, you two... Yeah, well, it's pretty self-evident. I won't go into the...
Yeah.
Now that we've thought about it for a few seconds, I think the connections are self-evident.
Yeah.
we really need to look more closely at these U2 guys.
Yeah. you can tell... you can tell which one's the Edge because he has a flower in his hair.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. We just found him in the woods.
Well, we found them both in the woods.
I guess Bono.
Yeah, we found Bono and the Edge in the woods, but
we had Bono. Bono was always there.
But I assume Bono also came from the woods.
Maybe. Bono is I think that Bono will still be alive when we're dead. Like, and I think we're gonna not because we're gonna die prematurely either. Just like I think Bono is like
yeah.
He's just the kind of thing that's always going to exist, you know?
Yeah.
He's doing such a good job being that, like, entity.
Yeah.
Like, if we were in ancient Greece, which Bono may very well have been, Bono would be understood as, like, a deity.
Yeah.
He would be understood as just like, okay, this is just the, like, conceptual, like, this is our just concept for this phenomenon.
The conceptual deity of mediocrity.
Right. The first conversation we had would have been way easier if we were, like, pagan, ancient Greek pagans, because we would have just been like, yeah, duh, fucking, you know, yeah, he's the god of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the thing, yeah, mediocrity, yeah, like, we get it, it's unbodied. Yeah, that would have been a lot easier. So one other similarity in these two episodes is that we really haven't talked about the manga again.
I feel like I've been talking about the manga the whole time.
Yeah, but, like, not explicitly. You know? Like, we've got a whole narrative arc happening right now.
What, like, we talked about the crack of the baseball bat.
We
talked about the bird.
That pretty much covers the narrative arc.
Yeah. Oh, and last time I never got to finish reading the panel with the bird. Should I do that, or do you want to talk about something else first? Before?
No, fuck yeah, finish that.
Okay. Again, written by Brian Eno himself. That bird is flying free and high, almost as if he were making fun of us.
For some reason, this panel makes me remember that time that we saw Brian Eno.
Yeah. Where do we see him? I'm remembering seeing Brian Eno, but I don't even remember where anymore.
You don't remember seeing him at the concert?
I do remember seeing him. I just didn't remember where it was.
He was at the bar. At the JFDR concert. Well,
yeah, the Yo Fritha concert? Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Frieda. I call her Joe Frieda.
Yeah. Yo Fritha.
Yeah.
Brian Eno also calls her Joe Frieda.
Yeah, but that's because they're close.
I still don't know if that was actually Brian Eno or not.
Oh, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
I think it was. He looked a lot like him.
You know? It would make sense that, that Brian Eno would go to a Yo for Ether concert. Is this the timer? Thank you for joining us today. Nice time we'll be reading chapters 101 and 102 from Volume 5. You can find the full schedule at xmoreon.io/mutonschedule. If you have questions for us, something goes to rspod@gmail.com. You can get early access to episodes of this podcast from there. Become a $1 patron of the network at xmoreon.io. And listen a week before the public feeds. Or for $5, you get exclusive bonus episodes of a variety of podcasts on the network, but especially Coffee and Comic Books, podcasts where they actually talk about the comics most of the time. If you like this podcast, please tell a friend. Then you can find the free feed at xmoreon.io/mutonon. I'm researching, pondering, putonon. On their podcast, Robo Choice. If you like listening to us talk, we do a lot more of that over at Ghost Diaries, which you can find at xwarod.io/ghostdiaries for searching Ghost Diaries on your podcast app of choice. You can find the show at Ponder Bhutan on Twitter, or just at Bhutan on co-host. You can find me at Vice on Twitter, co-host of Blue Sky. You can check my pin tweet, or pin shows, but not my pin skeet, because those don't exist yet. To find links to all my podcasts, where can we all find you, Connor?
Y'all can find me at Rabelais, R-A-B-B-L-E. A-I-S.
Our opening theme is Ninganante by Yoshiro Takahiro. And taking us out today is Brand New Lover by Dead or Alive. Class dismissed.
Class dismissed.
I'm leaving tomorrow.